one of the papers called the other day, and they said, would you speak to the leader of North Korea? Who the hell cares? I'll speak to anybody. I'm only going to make a good deal for us.
I have to vote. That's my God-given right. I watch Fox News every single night. They started Rip Rap Bear, and I had fell asleep. Then I turned on Hannity, and that's about the time I saw Trump on TV. Nobody likes him in the GOP. He always finds his way on Fox and Friends. I cannot get him off my screen. He never seemed to act his age. What's his age again? What's his age again?
Who is going to pay for the wall?
He wants a wall with a big door. The country don't know what it's in for. Paul Ryan's in the gym. McCain may lose his seat. And sucking up is Chris Christie. Standing next to Donald live on NBC. Nobody likes him in the GOP. And Mitch McConnell's about to have a stroke. He must be voting Hillary, cause Donald never acts his age. What's his age again? What's his age again?
There you go.
That was great. That was awesome.
That is the case. And today, Donald Trump has fired Corey Lewandowski, his campaign manager. Corey Lewandowski went on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
When he went on CNN, he was asked, well, why were you fired?
What happened? Why were you fired?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but what I know is what we've been able to achieve in this election cycle has been historic. You know, we had a candidate who in June of last year announced he was going to run for president with no elective office experience in a field of 16 other people in the race plus him, who's gone on to do something historic, which was get almost 14 million votes and fundamentally change the way people look at politics. And I'm proud to have been a small part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept, it was Dana Bash, I think, interviewing him and kept trying to get him to say, you know, just crack on Trump a little bit, you know, just show you're not totally loyal to him or anything. He did not the entire time. I totally want Trump. I totally want to do whatever I can to help him become president. I'm here to do whatever I can.
Mark McKinnon is with us. He's joined us a number of times during the winter into the spring of this incredible, unique year. Mm-hmm. We'll all agree on that, Mark. Incredible year. He's got this show called Circus, which is on Showtime. And there's more of that to come because they're going to be at the conventions and then into the general election and what goes on there, because this has been a circus. What, because you've been around these campaigns professionally for much of your career, Mark, what do you make of what happened here?
Well, a couple things. One is that I've never been in a functional, successful campaign that didn't have a clear, unified command structure. And I have been in campaigns that were unsuccessful that had a divided situation, much like the Trump campaign was prior to today, where you have two sort of camps, and it's unclear who's in control.
So,
and you simply can't run a presidential campaign that way. So, you know, I mean, the bad news for the Trump campaign is that they had this problem in the first place. The good news is that they've taken care of it now. It's late, but at least they got on it.
Well, I guess here's the problem, and this is the most, the simplest way to define this is you had, of these two camps, you had the crazy camp, and then you had the professional camp, right? And Paul Manafort, who's now unified as the campaign manager and the operations manager of the campaign, is a guy who is a professional. He's an adult. He's been around a number of successful campaigns, so he knows what he's doing. But the crazies, the question is this, chicken or egg, who's crazy? Is it Trump, or was it Lewandowski, or was it both? Because that it was all that sort of the immediate visceral reactions that Donald Trump has had, and the ill-timed and inappropriate tweets about things, taking credit after the second largest terrorist act on American soil. I mean, what goes on there? Who's crazy?
Well, you know, in any organization, and politics is no different than a business, you know, everything flows from the top. I mean, The organization is a reflection of the person running it, and there's you know, this is the Trump campaign. So, I think what's part of what's happening here is that Trump was able to very nimbly navigate through the primaries with a very unsophisticated, if you want to put it that way, but also unstructured political campaign. I mean, it's just, you know, we've never seen anything like it. I mean, there's just, it's just not a typically structured campaign. And that was fine for the primaries where you didn't have big long-range planning, big events like the convention and the general election and dealing with the RNC. And I think what's happening now is that, you know, they've had this sort of let Trump be Trump. Well, they're running into some real issues and problems now, is my suspicion. And one of those is the VP selection and the convention, both of which I believe Corey Lewandowski had a lot of responsibility for. And they're now, you know, they're 3 weeks out from the convention. And that's a lot of planning, a lot of organization. And, you know, I've been... It's not a surprise to me that this sort of thing is happening today, because I've been to these conventions. And I know how much planning it takes, and you know, in the Bush campaign, we'd done years of planning, and we had hundreds, if not thousands, of people working on this thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've got like six people working on it. And I just, you know, for the life of me, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing unfolds. You know, now they fired the guy who's, you know, was in charge of this massive operation that's supposed to start in 3 weeks.
Right. And CNN was making the point, too, that they still have to fundraise. They need to catch up with Hillary. And I guess his response was he doesn't need mainstream media the way Hillary Clinton does. He doesn't need as much of a war chest in this case. I don't know about that. I want to hear your thoughts. But also, do you think with Paul Manafort now in charge and this political power, you know, this struggle behind us, that we're going to see a different Trump?
Well, I think you'll see a different organization. I mean, I think it'll be more responsive. I think there'll be a lot more hires. I think it's the right move. Like I said, it's late in the game, but it's the right move. It needed to be done, and it should be better. You know, but the question is it enough, and is it too late? And I mean, you know, in successful presidential campaigns, we did it in 2004 to John Kerry. Largely did it to Gore. Obama did it to McCain. I mean, there's this period right now where, you know, the Trump campaign is not only flat-footed but on their heels, dealing with, you know, a crisis like the one today, a personnel crisis. And meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is unloading millions and millions of dollars of advertising, and they're framing this election right now. And by the time Trump gets to it, it may be too late.
Well, it's interesting because you're articulating something that the Trump people, his intimates, himself included, don't believe, which is they believe that they can reinvent the wheel here. You're talking about the way that this has been done mm-hmm. in the modern television era since 1968 or 1972, right? 68 being a bad example. That 72 is all that much better. But in the modern era,
they're saying they can circumvent the normal process, right?
Right. And they don't need the kind of money that you know, to buy television ads, because they get so much free media. But the free media they get, they can't control the messaging on that. And it's right now 90% negative bias on his free media that he's getting.
So they can control the social media part of it.
But I don't.
Well,
but all right. So Mark, how important do you think that piece is, the social media piece?
Well, it's important, but I mean, you know, free media. Is one thing, but when the free media is negative, it's another thing. I mean, his free media has been terrible the last few weeks. So, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have a bunch of free media, but if it's all negative, that's
right.
Not going to do any good.
It's going to be bad. And then the other piece here that I think that he needs to figure out is, let's go back to Cleveland, the convention. They're talking about changing, at least Lewandowski had been talking about getting rid of the politicians, getting rid of that undercard of, you know, guys who, you know, Republican governors or Republican senatorial candidates and traditional Republican icons getting up and speaking, and substituting celebrities and winners, as they said, like Tom Brady and people like that, and to make it more of a television show. Well, if they're going to do that, they have to book that. Those people, they have to make sure those people are available, and they have to create the logistics to get those people in the building. And they have to figure out, and I know the RNC does some of this work on its own in terms of credentialing and you know, the kind of day in, day out logistics to get the delegates in and get the media in and all the rest. But the actual show, the actual floor show that will take place is done by the candidate.
Well, I mean, you put your finger on a very important point. And I had the responsibility during the Bush era I had a lot of responsibility for the talent at the conventions. And that's a massively difficult proposition. As you said, I mean, you don't just call Tom Brady out of the blue and say, can you do this next Tuesday? I mean, you know, this is a guy that's got a busy schedule. He's booked heavily. You have to go through agents and managers, and it takes months and months and months and months to negotiate this kind of stuff. And, by the way, it is always difficult, much more difficult, for Republicans to get talent. I mean, Hollywood, even the sports world, they're shy about politics in general, but they're real gun shy about getting out in front for Republicans, and I'd say they're even more gun shy about getting out with Donald Trump. I mean, this is just an unknown, you know. And if these people have a lot of equity in their brand and their name and their franchise, and you know, they don't want to go rolling out there. So you know, I know that Donald Trump is, you know, listen, he's got a big background in television, and I know he understands it. But I know what the practical realities are of booking this kind of talent. And it's super hard. And like, you know, well, like on the music side, when, in the Republican side, once you get past the Oak Ridge Boys and Lee Greenwood, it gets real thin, real fast.
That is
like, who do we have? And right. you've seen like BuzzFeed already pulled. Didn't they pull out? And you've got one of the major cola companies that says that they're not going to be part of the convention.
Bunch of the corporations aren't coming. A bunch of the, you know, they're great. They're not going to have politicians. But I got the feeling. My suspicion is this is part of what's happening with Lewandowski. I think that they were like, okay, Corey, what's the plan? He's like, well, you know, it ain't really coming together like we hoped, and that's why I think that this personnel issue today may be a reflection of some of the deeper problems that relate to the convention.
So, do you make anything of the talk? And a lot of people on cable news are saying today that their sources are saying it was really his kids, the Trump children, who came forward and said,
"Hey." It wouldn't surprise me a bit. I mean, you know, the kids are always the one that can take truth to power, and they are very. very influential in this campaign, so that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Very Oprah of you, Mark. I just want to tell you that right now, the truth to power thing. Very, very Oprah. All right, so what?
I like that.
Let's talk about the circus for a second. So, are your cameras rolling right now? Do you have people?
They're
in place?
Not. We're gonna crank up in about a week or so, and our first show back will be July 10th. And then we'll go through the conventions, and then a very brief respite, and then we'll be back for the entire fall.
Oh, man, because the conventions are going to be – it's going to be very interesting because obviously we're setting up for that too for our own coverage of it. And what we're finding is that the DNC, very organized. We've been able to, you know, secure all of the logistics that companies like ours and industries like ours need to have, right, for radio and television, you know, broadcast positions, camera positions, blah, 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 all that's done. Not so for the Republicans, because I think, as you're pointing out, there's six people running an organization where there should be 120 managers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not sure who's in charge, and you know, it's a massively difficult challenge under normal circumstances, and these are just very abnormal circumstances.
Here's the good news, though: Cleveland will still be drunk from the Cavaliers winning the NBA
they
Finals.
Won't even know.
Yeah.
How
so
many
they,
people they are won, here.
Right.
Cleveland won't care.
Right,
exactly. It's a good year for Cleveland.
It's going to be
rich.
Right. Right. I mean, there was all of a sudden, it's like, you know, all of the tension is off. It was like, okay, great. All right.
They don't care if there's another mistake by the lake.
Exactly. And this one will be. All right. Thanks very much, Mark.
Thanks,
appreciate your time.
It'll be entertaining. I think it'll be interesting for all of us covering it.
Yeah, no question about it.
We'll see you
Mark
out there.
McKinnon. Thank you very much, sir.
See you there. All right. Kick it hard.
He always says that.
Love that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what we're kicking hard, but we'll kick
a
whatever
Texas
it is
thing.
As hard as we possibly can. Yes, it is a Texas thing.